Next case is 05-1549, Akron Bar Association versus D. Robert Dietz. Mr. Varian.
Mr. Chief Justice, may it please the court. I'm Donald Varian. I represent Robert Dietz. We are all a product of our history, and Rob Dietz's history has been an exemplary one as a father, an attorney, and as an individual. But for an event that occurred in early 2002, when at that time, Rob, due to a very meager law practice throughout his 22 years of practice, he never was an economically successful lawyer. Does not mean he was not a good lawyer or a positive lawyer in our community of Akron, Ohio. But his depression that he was starting to suffer from in 2000 and the economic problems of just adopting a young two-year-old child had become overpowering to him. And he took from two estates that he was handling funds that he felt wrongfully he would have been due eventually as the attorney fees and the executor fees in the amount of about $13,000 in one and $14,000 in the other. What happened after that is he met with the Akron Bar Association, individuals that he knew, and he was not candid with them initially, until he was provided with the evidence of what had occurred, and he then explained to them in complete detail what happened. And he has, from that point on, completely cooperated, including all of the disciplinary hearing. We have cooperated in every area. We have stipulated to all of the events, and that information is on the record. We went to the hearing, and unfortunately at the hearing, two of the panel members were not present, and we had one hearing officer to listen to the evidence. There were no witnesses on behalf of the Akron Bar Association. We had stipulated to all of the facts, and we had acknowledged all of the facts. So we went forward with our evidence on behalf of Rob Dietz. And during the examination by the panel member, there was an inquiry about what he had done with the money, and he explained in great detail that he had used it to pay his personal finances and that of his office. And he indicated, this is very late in the day, that he may have used it to pay to go for a trip to Europe. This became a very serious aggravating factor with the panel member, and I had not been aware, nor had he been aware, that this was a time period of the same events. So after that hearing, he provided and researched when he actually did go to the European trip, which was a trip that he had won, his wife had won through a radio station in Akron, and that was the only way they could have gone, and they did go in 1999. The events that were occurring here are in 2002 and 2003, are totally unrelated, had nothing to do with it, were not monies that were used to go to Europe, and I provided supplemental documentation to those facts that were provided to this court. Unfortunately, that information was provided almost simultaneously when the opinion of the board was made. But I think it goes to the very heart of the second part of that concern in the opinion that he lied in his deposition about where the money went. He did not lie. He was accurate in what he had done with that money and that it had not gone to any European vacation. The other concern was that he has had an overlay of mental illness. This mental illness did not rise to the effect that it would diminish the remove him from any responsibility in this case, but it was a factor in his depression and bipolar, and that information was also provided from the psychologist and from his family practice doctor. But the overlay of those two things, I think, contributed greatly to what has occurred in those two cases. I think it's also important for the panel to know that initially, once he was aware of that, those monies that were advanced improperly, that they have been totally and completely repaid back to both estates. Both estates, both judges reviewed both of those estates. They have closed both estates. All heirs were paid every dollar. There were no executor fees. There were no attorney fees. And interest was paid on those monies of 15 or 13 in one and 14,000 in the other. So there has been no harm to any client, and actually neither client ever brought a complaint. The complaint came from a creditor. I would ask the court to look to the cases that have been provided to you and some additional authority of several cases that I know this court has looked at recently in disciplinary counsel versus Nagorny and Cleveland Bar Association versus Ruse. In both cases, the amounts of money were staggeringly higher. One was over $300,000 and one was $57,000, and both of those were indefinite suspensions. But I would ask you to now look to where this case was. There were no witnesses that were ever brought by the Bar Association for anyone to evaluate at the hearing, but the Bar Association did an extensive interview with all of the parties in the local area. They met with the judges, they met with the parties, they met with the families, they met with every individual, they got the bank accounts, and after they've looked at all of that information, as well as the facts that are all before you, they came to a conclusion that what the appropriate penalty was for this gentleman, who has had no problems previously with the Bar Association, no previous grievances, no difficulties with his clients.
He was less than forthcoming.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. On his initial conference with the Bar, he was less than forthcoming. But even after that, the Bar Association felt that the appropriate penalty was a two-year definite suspension for this individual.
Was his statement that somebody he hired part-time lost all his checks, was that determined to be truthful or not truthful? Or was there no determination about that?
I don't think there was ever a determination. We never indicated that was an accurate fact, because what he had done is move his office. He was a sole practitioner. As many of the individuals that come before you that don't have the support staff and parties that are able to prepare and complete their offices like we would like them to be. But that issue never was resolved. Finally, there was never an individual who actually came in on that issue. She was a young high school student who had come in to help reorganize his office.
Counsel, did the Akron Bar ever ask what Mr. Dietz did with the money?
Yes.
Because that question apparently was important to the one panel member who heard the evidence.
And that's why I bring it up. Yes, it was. And he indicated that it was for his expenses of his family and his home. He never mentioned any European trip because it wasn't any relationship in time to him. And then once we learned that the European trip was even 3 years earlier than all of this and had no relation to this, I acknowledge that the panel member did not know that we had that additional information because they had their ruling before we got that to them. And unfortunately, by the time he could secure the documents, and they're rather clear in there, we have the letter from WKSU, which is the radio station. We have a traffic ticket he got in Italy, some deposits he made in Italy, all showing that it was in the year 1999, 3 years before any of these events ever occurred.
But your client did testify that he used the money there.
He did, and he did. As an offhand comment, he thought when he was listing a litany of reasons of where he had spent the money, and he thought, and I think if you'll wish to look back to the transcript, you'll see he thought that that may have been one of the considerations for paying to be able to go for a trip that his wife had won. As we learned out later, the facts that it did not occur, that is not where the monies were used. I would also just ask the court to look to the overall evaluation of this gentleman. You'll see a letter from one of the judges in Summit County, and I'd just like to quote his evaluation of Mr. Dietz. He says, he has demonstrated great dedication and loyalty to his clients. He has impressed me with his zealous representation of people who had few resources. This willingness to work for the less advantaged of our citizens earned my respect and appreciation. And he goes on at the end of the letter to say his general legal performance and his long-term good character should not be diminished by this poor judgment in this case, and I would concur. I would ask you to finally look to the mitigation issues that this court has set up as to how you evaluate whether a person should receive a penalty, and there's no question Mr. Dietz should receive a penalty. He is not practicing law now. He is working in another business, but he has a great desire to return to the practice of law. There's no question that he has made a complete and good faith restitution, and he did that immediately. And that money's and was borrowed through his parents, which he is now repaying on a monthly basis. He has made a complete and full disclosure after his initial not being candid, and I don't deny that at all, but he has and cooperated completely.
More than not candid, he flat out lied.
Absolutely.
About the void estate, didn't
he? Absolutely. He did not tell them that he had taken these monies from these two estates, and I absolutely agree with the court. I would also ask you to look to his character and reputation, though, prior to this event. The 22 years of practice in a community with an unblemished record. Finally, I think that you have to consider the other penalties that he has received. We entered into a plea agreement with the Summit County Prosecutor's Office. He entered a plea to theft. He was placed on probation, but he does have a felony record. That is an additional penalty that he has received. This court has in other cases, and I won't list
all of them. What is he doing now?
He is working, helping manage a warehouse, non-related legal work, actually physical, a great deal of it's physical. He's here today, probably lost 25 pounds and feeling much better and doing much better. He's still receiving the psychological counseling that he has received before. And he is supporting and helping his family and his three-year-old child that they have adopted. But I think if you look at all of these considerations of this gentleman and his life and his career and this one indiscretion and his improper handling of it initially, but his proper handling of it subsequently, the penalty of a permanent disbarment is just so disproportionate to the events, disproportionate to the individual, and disproportionate to the setting and pattern that you wish to make for how we must protect the public in our community. I would ask that you follow the recommendation of the Akron Bar Association of a two-year definite sentence. That also had many restrictions, including having a mentor, having it be on a probationary status, having it being followed up by other kinds of commitment through his psychologist, all of which we were agreeing to. I would ask you to look to that, or in the alternative, allow him to return to the practice under an indefinite suspension.
Thank you, Mr. Berry. Mr. Lowry.
Dave Lowry for the Akron Bar Association. Chief Justice, may it please the court. Not to to minimize what Attorney Dietz, I'd just like to go over some brief facts because the version you just heard is a little bit, it's a simplistic version.
Let me just stop you there so I know exactly what your position is. You stipulated to 2 years, and your brief response to the respondent's brief just tells us to do what's right, and you don't, what does Akron Bar still, in view of the panel's recommendation of indefinite suspension and the board's recommendation of disbar, is that still your position?
The recommendation, Your Honor, at the time that was made was based upon some depositions that had been conducted, the review of the evidence that we had and what we thought. I suppose that these proceedings aren't unlike any other proceedings. Some of the things that were heard or learned during the hearing were a little different than what we had perceived to be the case. For example, and it was something that also troubled the chairman extensively, the continued perception that these monies that were taken were advancements and somehow were justified was really something that I don't believe we had really heard at the deposition level. It indicated somewhat that there was a reluctance on the part of Attorney Dietz to accept responsibility. Some of the other things that were troublesome, obviously, were this trip to Europe, of which we had inquired in a deposition. And if you take a look at the transcript of the proceedings, I believe it's at page 127, I believe. I inquired of Attorney Dietz in terms of why this information wasn't brought forth at the deposition, as we were very surprised. If you read the transcript, at the end of the transcript, I believe that I did say at that point in time that the deal was a deal, that we had recommended the 2 years, but I did put a caveat in there that the Bar Association, as well as the panel members, were very concerned about hearing some things that we had not heard before, particularly how the money was spent. The panel and the Bar Association are mindful that this court is very concerned with how monies are spent. One particular case comes to mind. The name of it leaves me, but it deals with an individual who used funds to invest in the stock market. And this court found that particularly deplorable, that funds from some other place.
Do you accept the subsequent evidence that it was, in fact, 3 years before?
Do you have any reason to?
Your Honor, I have no reason to believe or not believe it, quite frankly. I don't really believe that it's evidence in the case due to the time that it was proffered. I've obviously not had an opportunity to cross-examine anyone. If you read the transcript at page 121, where the money went was of great concern to the chairman as well as the panel.
Do those concerns, if you accept that he did spend the money on the trip and not look at the receipts that he allegedly has submitted otherwise, does that move you to a disbar, or does that just move you to an indefinite?
I think it probably moves us, when we've spoken, to an indefinite. The problem is, if you read the transcript, in my opinion as well as the other panel members, the utilization of the money, it's difficult to understand what the money was really utilized for. Initially, there's testimony that it was used for office expenses and to pay the rent. Then it changes and it's used to use the trip, and there's specific mention about an IRS refund. The numbers were distinct and concise enough that it just seems confusing to me how someone, I mean, I've never had the opportunity to go to Europe for one reason or the other. It just seems to me unusual that someone wouldn't remember when they went to Europe, or they wouldn't remember that, but they would remember specifically that they spent, $3,000 on that, and then I spent the rest on an IRS refund. I would have liked to seen, quite frankly, in addition to the indication from Attorney Dietz where the money went, where it didn't go, where it went, and I've not seen that.
Okay, let's put the money aside. Has he, in fact, made full restitution that you're aware of? Your co-counsel is nodding over there.
From the record, it appears so. From conversation, I'm not real. There seems to be a claim from one of the, at least.
You were sticking to the record before.
Okay, sticking to the record.
So what's the record
say? Sticking to the record, it appears the restitution's been made. Yes, ma'am. Yes.
And is he, as far as you know, engaging in counseling and those other things that you?
I believe he is, and I also have. I've heard that he is working. And doing rather well in his job. He's apparently working at an electrical company doing warehouse work, and I saw him today. He does look better than he did certainly at the hearing and in time past. So it appears that he is doing better than he was, Your Honor. But just so the court does understand, this isn't just a matter of taking some money out of an estate. It was in the thing that was particularly troublesome is it was a period. In other words, these were multiple payments taken at multiple times. There were transfers of funds between an estate in Portage County versus Summit County. It was a situation, and that was one of the stipulations that we entered, where he was both the attorney and the executor on the estates. And there was no justification by counsel's own comment. He knew that he hadn't done the appropriate work. In fact, on the Boyd estate, there was $5,000 taken from the time that the estate was originally funded. That was within the matter of 6 days. So based upon the facts and circumstances, we'll obviously leave it in the discretion of the court. But as I indicated, some things change, and we'll leave it to the discretion of the court.
Thank you, Mr. Lowry. Mr. Varian, you've saved 3.5 minutes of your time.
I just want to have the record be very clear that Mr. Dietz at no time ever felt that what he did was right, correct, or legally authorized. I only mentioned it to you to let you know that the $13,000 in issue was on a Boyd estate that had a great many antiques, and it was a rather difficult estate, and there would have been extraordinary fees available, and they would have probably exceeded the amount of money there. But he hadn't had the authority. He knew he had done was wrong, and I assume in some logic that would only be there for somebody who is in extreme depression and financial need felt that, eventually I'm going to get those monies anyway. It was wrong, and he's always acknowledged that. The only thing that was different from that hearing when they made a 2-year recommendation was the issue of the trip to Europe. The evidence is exceedingly clear. We filed the additional authority with the court. It was filed. There was never an objection. There was never any request for any additional information or findings regarding that had nothing to do with these monies. The monies were used, it was $13,000 in question, were used for bills, IRS bills, office bills, and home bills. And I think everybody agrees from Mr. Dietz's family, that's where those monies went. There was no particular paper trail for them because this was now looking back 3 years at the time of that review. But I think that if you look at the clarity of all of the evidence, it does not rise to a permanent disbarment of this lawyer.
But it does seem that a two-year suspension, as you know, with a two-year suspension, the lawyer simply files documents saying I've completed my CLE and so forth, and they're back in without any review. It seems to me with his really lying along the way here, he's really been quite deceitful that we shouldn't permit, even if we don't disbar him. It doesn't seem to me we should just permit him automatically to be reinstated after 2 years, an indefinite suspension, where there's a review of the person, as you know, before they're readmitted would be more appropriate. This isn't one single incident where somebody with a wonderful record goes wrong and we think, well, that won't happen again. I mean, there was a pattern here. And lying to the investigating authorities, to me, that suggests somebody who doesn't quite get it.
I mean, what it means to be a lawyer.
And
other than there were a great many stipulations that the Bar Association had placed upon his return, and I think those are clear in the record, and those would have given you some of the concerns, answers to those concerns. But I understand yours, and I don't disagree conceptually that indefinite would give you that more authority. I would say it is the one estate that this occurred in, and then the second estate was the replacing of those monies. There was not a variety of estates, and I just want to make it crystal clear that all of the money was paid back within that 30 days after that event, and both courts in Portage County and in Summit County have closed those estates and authorized the payment of all of them and found that they were all completed and proper. And I think that goes to the information that I provided you previously. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Berry. And the case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.